He is our satellite of love, Rodney Ead, every Wednesday on the program. Joins us, the Great Rocket. He's back. Good morning, Rodney.
Morning, Daniel Harford. How are you, mate?
I'm very, very well. How do we find you on this Wednesday morning? You're not on the road for cashy.
No, just at home, looking at the window.
It's a nice morning looking out the window.
Before we get to Rocket properly, just quite a few text messages have come in about, we're talking about why people aren't going to the football. A regular theme is ticketing.
Right.
About the frustrations around booking tickets, around extra money required to get a ticket that you want or a seat that you want, all those sorts of things. That's a common theme. And that's not just a common theme on the text messages either. A lot of people I know talk about that.
Whitey says old men go to local footy. Rocket, you're involved in local footy. You're getting big crowds at local footy on the resumption?
Well, yeah, I suppose it's probably increased a little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary. It's, you want to get 500, you're probably getting 700 or 800, but... No, I don't think you're getting thousands, that's for sure. But I think there's quite a lot of people are telling me ticketing. It's not as easy to get to the footy. And they go through the tickets to the clubs, they can't get the seats they used to get and sit with people. So there's things there that probably the AFL got to fix for sure.
Righto, a bit of feedback there from Rocket on that. What about some feedback for the Bombers? Rodney, you want to have a chat about them this morning. What's your take on how things are progressing there and the whole Dyson Heppel situation from the weekend and Monday night on the couch as well? What's your observation of that?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, everyone's given their opinion. I think everyone's right about the lack of defence, and we know, and lack of aggression, or lack of being able to do something when they're challenged or not challenged the opposition. And I thought Dyson Heppel spoke very well as captain the other night. I thought he's passionate. The only thing, and they quizzed him a few times, the only thing was, he said, we're having hard conversations. And he kept going back to that point a few times. But it doesn't seem to be changing. So I don't know how hard these conversations are, or whether the coach needs to have hard conversations. I know Ben Rutten's now under the pump a bit. But except for the last quarter against Hawthorn, it doesn't seem to be changing. And the last quarter against Hawthorn, they changed their setup more than anything. It's like, or last half, Parrish and McGrath and that, and Merritt weren't in the centre square as much. And they mixed their setup. That's the only thing for me that's changed at a particular time. They still don't defend well. They still don't tackle. They have 30 tackles, and people have mentioned that. So for Dyson to say, as I said, I thought he spoke really well and really passionate about his club. But it doesn't seem to be really any hard conversations that have been had, because nothing's been done any different. What's your guys' thought on that? What do you reckon? Now Dyson said he's not in your face type of captain. Well, how hard are these conversations that are actually being had at Essendon?
Yeah, well, I've been big on Essendon's lack of on-field leadership. And I sort of want to throw it back to you as a senior coach of three AFL clubs. When you're trying to get messages across, particularly around change of method... Yeah. Is it the coach that gets the message through, or is it the senior players that get the message through, channeling what the coach wants?
Well, I think let's break that down. It's a good question. I think basically on the non-negotiables, the coach gets that, and then the players will carry out and leaders will carry out. If you're coaching method, as in style of play or what we do in certain situations, the players on field really can drive that. So in this situation where it's pressure, you're asking them to actually tackle one, but also team defence, block the corridor, teams are coming through the corridor, just waltzing through. A, you train that, and B, you demand it as a coach. That's a non-negotiable. So if you don't do that, A, we won't win, and B, you mightn't be playing next week. So I think it's got to get back to real baseline now, and it's picking players who will actually do what the non-negotiables are, and then you can build from there. That may cost them more games, but at least there's going to be some effort. So on that point, what everyone's complaining about, I think the coach has got to drive it.
Yeah. And then the other question I've got for both of you, in your experience as a coach, do senior players come to you and say, we need to change the way we play? Or is this, it's very much the other way? Or would you encourage senior players to come to you and say, look, I think we've got to do things differently?
Well, I think you have to give some ownership to players and have a conversation with them at times and say, listen, how do you think we're going to this? What are your thoughts? And they may come and have have some thoughts on that. So I think you invite that. But at the end of the day, what you've got to be careful of, and it's probably your leadership group rather than all the players, is that six blokes will have one thought, six will have another thought, and six will have a third thought. Then you get the lunatic from the asylum and it goes round and round circles. So I think invite them, and if there's a common thread, then okay, listen, I'll look at that change. But at the end of the day, the coach or coaches have got to make a final decision. And this is the way we're on path. And just say, listen, had your, taken your thoughts, agree with this, don't agree with that. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to pair it back. Whether, you know, in the David Noble case, was players' feedback was game plan was too complicated. That may be just for a young team. Okay, you just got to simplify it. I reckon in Essendon's case, and even in the West Coast Eagles case, this is a different issue, but you just got to get a little win somehow. There's no good now. Essendon can't hope now to just turn this around. It's a big ship to turn it around. It's going to take weeks, and there's going to be fleeting halves and quarters and say, oh, listen, we're back on track. A bit like the cricketer trying to get back into form by hit the six or a four. Well, they've just got to play in the V now. They've just got to play straight. They've just got to get little wins, edge it forward, let's aim for tackles, let's aim for the opposition not scoring as much, let's stay in games for longer. Something that really they can be actually reward for effort rather than actually trying to kick great goals or having heaps of stats.
Yeah, I think you invite conversations with your leadership and then take it from there. Take it from where, if the common themes and things keep popping up, then you might have to alter a few things and change it a little bit, streamline it perhaps a little bit, but you don't want to be making drastic changes on the back of player feedback. It's not necessarily a recipe for success there.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Just on the Dylan Sheil, Luke Parker incident, Rocket, if you had seen that in the box... on the TV monitors there. Would you mention that at halftime or the next break or say to the whole group and maybe use that as a bit of a spur to be a bit more vigorous perhaps in our attack on the footy or attack on the opposition?
For sure, no doubt. Because that's like a slight at one of our players, but it's slight at us as a club as well. I think we as a club have to stand up for that. Our team, it's not too much. You just... I heard back to what he said on the weekend, and probably the way he came across was a bit too aggressive in these days about whether you get reported or free kick away. But I certainly agree with what he said. I mean, you've got to... There's still room for intimidation in today's football, and you do get intimidated, and players can get intimidated. And you can't wilt under that sort of pressure. And because it's a tough environment. It's just not a... I know society's changed the way we look at things, but football is still the same. It's an intimidating game, and if opposition will smell blood if there's a weakness at all, and I think teammates needed to stand up for him at that stage. I know Dyson Neville said, "Oh, players didn't see," but there's a few players around there that did see it, and as a team, they needed to stand up, and they didn't. They just wilted away. So that's an issue that needs to be addressed for sure.
That's the Bombers situation. What about the Gold Coast Suns? They're beating teams that are third, fourth and fifth on the ladder at the moment. They're going pretty well for what a team and an environment that, as you well know, has been a challenge through pretty much the start of its existence. How are they looking in your role? What's Stewie Jew doing with this group?
I think, they have improved. I think that what they've got is, I think it's a lesson for every club that goes really young. They're getting players now who have played, a group of players who have played 40, 50, 60 games. So they're not 10, 5, 10 and 15 games, which they've had in the past. When you've got too many players of that experience or inexperience, you do wilt away. You do crack under pressure. The grind gets you. And I think that's what's happened to the Suns in the past. So they've got they've got talent enough, obviously. The game plan simplified a bit. They'll go a bit longer. They defend well, they get numbers back. They're quite fit. So obviously, Fremantle had a lot more inside 50s that couldn't score. So they have improved. So teams have got to respect them that they're not the Suns of old, that they have improved. I don't know whether they can make the eight, but if teams don't pay them enough respect and don't work hard enough against them, that they won't win. And I think Sydney's like that, Carlton like that. I think playing at home helped them against Fremantle and Carlton, and that's great. They take advantage of the home advantage. I think if Norton doesn't play this week, I think they can beat the Bulldogs, even if it's Colin Ballarat. Norton's the probably key So, you know, the Bulldogs are in for a tough afternoon. So they have improved, and teams got to respect them that they're a side now probably in the top 10. And if you don't pay them that respect, they can beat you.
Well, Daniel, you made this observation yesterday. When you look at the Gold Coast Suns, they've now beaten third, fourth and fifth on the ladder.
Mm.
And the Sydney win was at the SCG. That's real currency.
Real currency.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's interesting stats for the Swans that their first quarters, they fixed it a bit on the weekend against Essendon. But I wouldn't get a... I hope it's not a false dawn for the Suns. Sorry, for the Swans. That their first quarters have been really poor, and really poor in the centre square. And they got smacked in both times by having young players in there. So I noticed Parker went back in there at the start this last week. Maybe Josh Kennedy starts in there. I know they're playing in different spots just to have a bit of body strength around there. You know, and Florent and Warner and these guys in the first quarter have been pushed aside. So the Suns did that really well against them.
Are you presenting the Rodney Eade Medal on the weekend at Ballarat?
I don't think either club will ask me.
Well, I think they should, Rodney. I think they should. There should be a medal minted in your honour and presented every game to the best player. Adjudged by somebody, probably you, for that game. Ballarat these days for this weekend's game between the Bulldogs and the Suns. The Suns have got the Dogs, the Hawks and the Kangas before the bye. It's a pretty good draw.
Yeah, it is a good draw. If they can win this one, I don't think they might do that. That'd give them a real fillip to be able to push towards the eight and be in there. So, it's certainly a big game for the Dogs as well.
And the Hawks and the Kangas games, both at TIO Stadium in Darwin for the Suns. Rocket, always a pleasure to chat to you. Good luck presenting the medal, and we'll chat next week.
See you, boys.
All the best. No cashy today for Rodney Eade. Rocket, yeah.
As we go to a break, Nottingham Forest are through to the championship playoff. They've won in penalties against Sheffield United, so it'll be Huddersfield Town and Nottingham Forest to play for a spot in the Premier League at Wembley.
Oh, Wembley, they play that game.
Yep. Cool. That's like it's like a grand final.
Yep.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all. Fantastic. All right, we'll get to a break. I'm not sure this weekend's a grand final for the Bulldogs, but they need the win, I reckon. We just talked about it with Rocket briefly with the Suns, but Josh Dunkley is going to help us out to further that conversation and flesh it out a bit after the break on The Breakfast